First Samuel, chapter 7. We're going to just take this Memorial Day theme and run with it. We have here in First Samuel, chapter 7, a biblical example of memorializing an event. What we do with memorials is very biblical. It comes from our Christian foundation as a nation. And you young people, you may be aware that just that statement alone is being blasted within our borders, that we were not founded as a Christian nation. The reality is that the history is overwhelming. All you have to do is go to Washington, D.C. and see all of the scriptures that are on the Supreme Court walls, see the monuments and the such. We were absolutely founded as a Christian nation. With that said, then you've got the other side that says, well, we're no longer a Christian nation. Well, I would agree with that to a large extent, but I don't believe that we need to stop the conversation there. That's why we as Christians, and we put the verse up almost every Sunday, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. Church, you're not waiting on God for revival. God's waiting on us. And we try to be faithful to ask God for that, and it's extremely important that we do, because surely I don't have to convince anybody here of our need. Now, one of the reasons, however, that we have gotten, I believe, so far off is because we have not paid attention to the memorials that we have set up. We haven't passed our Christian heritage to our children. And we've taught about this here recently. Taking them to church is not enough. We've got to pass the whole load, because my wife and I, our Christian experience does not consist of going to church. Our Christian experience is reaching out through the week, reaching up through the week, trying to soak in the Word through the week, living the Christian life. And memorials help you and I do that. And we see it right here in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Let's stand for the reading reverence of God's holy word. This is in the days of Samuel. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. Now that tells you right there that there's an issue going on here, because this is not where the ark belongs. The ark belongs in the tabernacle or in the temple or in the capital city of Israel. It's not there. There's something wrong. Look at verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And here it is. And all the house of Israel lamented. That means that they mourned after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods, and now we have it, and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Folks, they had fallen into idolatry. They were worshiping. They were giving more emotional intensity to something else other than God. Look at verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Father, we ask you to add your blessings to the reading and preaching of your holy word. Father, we ask you to change us, to look more like you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. First of all, I want to say that in a very real sense, we always, on Memorial Day and on Veterans Day, want to just take a time out and say how much we do as a church. We're patriotic. If we're not patriotic, I don't know what patriotic looks like. When you call your July the 4th celebration many names, and one of those is God, country, and guns, I don't know what patriotism looks like if that's not it. With that said, if you can show me a better picture, we'll try to make it look more like that type thing. But you and I both know that words alone are not sufficient to communicate love. You have to have words and action. That's why we brought Lucas up here. That's why there is in your in the know that letter about the Memorial Day. That's why Jennifer Ross, who's not able to be with us here today, usually has something involved with our Memorial Day and Veterans Day, but she's got some physical issues going on that has detained her from that. But you can still submit names, addresses, and phone numbers of our military. If you've got any connection with military servicemen or women, please get that to us. We will be in correspondence with them. At least once, maybe two times a year, we send goodie bags and things of that nature. Bless you. As you know, however, Memorial Day for America is us memorializing our deceased, those that died in battle for us. You may or may not be aware that 600,000 men and women have died for the freedom of America from our birth to now. And folks, they're still dying. We lost four servicemen just a few weeks ago in Niger. One of the memorial things I read from the veteran that was part of Osama bin Laden's demise, he wrote an article and he made the statement that when we lost these servicemen just a few weeks ago, he heard several people say, "We've got soldiers in Niger." And that's not meant to be a put down to those fine folks. The reality, people, is that we are in theaters all over the world. All over the world. I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad I don't, because that means some of it is secret. So, and that's to protect them and the such. But church, anytime we lose servicemen or women, we should stop. And we should, number one, thank God that we have the greatest military on this planet. Secondly, we should beg God for those families. I don't even want to imagine what the E's would go through if they get that call. I don't want to imagine what Talitha would go through if she gets that call, and this family as a result. But the reality is there are families getting that call almost weekly. And it's so important that we pause. And then if the Holy Spirit brings something to mind for you to do. And again, church, I know that there's some people that don't like this, but I've yet to have a military veteran tell me, don't tell me thank you for my service. They've always said, thank you. And it's like giving a rose out of a garbage pail. They're just like hungry to hear some appreciation. Because this nation failed after Vietnam. We failed after Korea. And I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to thank the servicemen and women for what they do. So that's important. Number two, memorials come from the Bible. It is God's will for you and I to remember, for us to remember what God has done to bring us to this point. In my own life, I have some things that are extremely important to me that have become memorials. Much to my wife's chagrin, knives are one of those. So much so that I'm ashamed to tell you how much money I've spent in knives in the last 20 years type things. But they're a memento to me. And there's one main reason that that's the case. Number one, I'm a redneck. But there's a second reason. Watch this. My brother. My deceased brother, 30, maybe 40 years ago, because I don't believe I was 20 yet, he handed me a buck knife, the black-handled one, which I promptly lost. I did. Oh, and I'm telling you, there's a few things in my life, possessions, that I grieve that I've lost them. That's one of them, and my memory, but nonetheless. When I got to where I could replace that knife, I've got three black-handled buck knives now. And they're in the box. And they're going to stay in there because they're important to me. They mean something to me. I also remember years ago, probably in the first 5 years of me coming back in 97, we placed a cross. Can't even remember now why. But we placed a cross up the hill, and I was going through a troubled time, and the Holy Spirit drew me to that cross. And while I was standing at that cross, I never will forget it, tears streaming down my eyes as I tried to visualize what Jesus did on that cross for my sins. And he said to me, take out your keys. And I took out my keys and I put them at the foot of the cross. Take out your wallet. I took out my wallet. This was before everybody had a cell phone type thing. But I emptied my pockets of anything and everything that could be related to Ben Kingston. And I just stood there and the Holy Spirit made it very clear to me, don't go to the pulpit anymore with anything that represents you. I don't have my wallet. I don't have my keys. I never have since that day when I preach. Why? Because there's one thing and one thing only that's important that I do behind this pulpit, and that is feed you God's word. And very frankly and honestly, nothing else about me matters right here. Type thing. In other words, while I'm preaching God's word to you, I shouldn't be worrying about my possessions. Because no possession rivals the possessor. The one that has possessed my life for good and for God. And so that's a memorial. Every Sunday when I empty my pockets, that is a memorial of that day where I got some things right with God and God got some things right with me, if you will, as far as he set me straight. And church, all of us have those times. All of us have those times and we need to memorialize those. It is absolutely imperative. These memorials are the first time of an experience. And they result in a changed life. They become a memento of praise, a reminder of a better life. And this biblical example, here I raise mine Ebenezer, the old Come Now Fount song says, hither by thy help I've come. We are a memorial society. That is from a biblical heritage, graveyards, memorials, highways, crosses all around them, memorials, government properties, memorials, lobbies. Many lobbies are just glorified memorials. When you go into a lobby, look for the picture. There's going to be a picture there of some old guy. And that, or woman. And that person was the founder of that business. What is that? It's a memorial. And they don't want to forget where they've come from. We can't and shouldn't lose this part of our society. You've heard that phrase, if we forget the past, we're condemned to repeat it. So there's an old familiar tale in this chapter. Now, before I get into the verses here, I want to share with you, and Brother Gavin is one of the best Bible teachers that we have here in our church. He's not the only one by far, but he's one of the best. And he's got a circle and he's got a pyramid that he uses to teach, and it's good stuff. And I've got a circle that I've borrowed from Gavin, and I've got another circle that I've had for a long time. And that first circle that I've had for a long time is the circle of what I call revival. And you see it in the Old Testament time and time again. And we start out up here where everything's great. The nation of Israel is walking with the Lord. This is you having your quiet time daily. This is you sharing your faith on a weekly basis. This is you soaking in God's Word. This is you praying and not worrying and the such. And then sin. Name it. Whatever it is. It'll come to me. Apathy. I don't care. Apathy. Alcoholism. Addiction. Pornography. Name it. Whatever sin it represents right here, this stops what I'm calling the good life. This stops, your sin stops the abundant Christian life. Now, church, hear me. One of the greatest dangers in America is that we're in this portion and we don't know it. You remember Samson? The Bible said that Samson did not have the Spirit of God, and he knew it not. Because if we're not careful, we come to church, we do our thing, and then we live our life. That's called being backslidden. And I'm begging you, today, take an inventory. Because if you're right here, if you're in sin, if you have sinned against God, and there is a problem, because the Bible is very clear, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we are walking with God and we are not walking with God, we're sinning. And it's so important that we be aware of where we're at, because right after sin comes punishment, circumstantial consequences. Brother Ben, I don't know why my life is so messed up. Well, let's talk a little bit. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you've read your Bible? When's the last time you've shared your faith? When's the last time you've been involved in the kingdom of God? Well, I'm busy. Church, if you're an American, you're busy. But we're not too busy to do what God has called us to do. Amen, church? And if we're too busy to do what God's called us to do, guess what? You're too busy. You need to start taking some things off of your Rolodex type thing. And so now we've gone from walking the good life, abundant Christian living, to sin, to punishment. Well, folks, can I tell you that God loves you enough to bring you to a place that you don't want to stay right here? God loves you enough, He'll put you in that loving vice of, I'm going to get your attention one way or the other. As a parent, when I discovered that America was not good with spanking, do you know what I discovered? That I could get the same thing across in Walmart when I would reach out and my son would give me his hand and then I would just start to squeeze. And his eyes would get this big and his ears would get this big. And I would say, stop it. Do you hear me? Stop it. And he would say, okay. And God loves you too much. Benjamin's sitting there smiling because he knows. He knows. And the unfortunate thing is, if I can't get your hand, I may grab just something. And there's parts on the body that hurt really bad. Can I get a witness? You know, this flabby stuff, it hurts really bad. When you squeeze, I almost touch my fingers on occasion, you know? Why? Stay with me. Because all of you are going back to your war scenes and your, you know. Brad always knew his mother kept him in knuckle range in the van. You stay in knuckle range. Because she could only reach so far. Hell yeah. This is an obedient son right here. Watch this. So as God is trying to get your attention, folks, there's only one thing for the smart Christian person to do. Repent. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Please, you got my attention, Lord. I am here. Please talk to me. And God is faithful. He will talk to you. He will tell you what is the issue. He will tell you what's going on. And then he will tell you how to get right. And so that completes the circle. When you are punished and God gets your attention, you repent. Guess what he does? He restores. And the punishment is over. I'm not telling you you still not have some consequential situation as a result, because choices bring consequences. Adrian Rogers says something that I love. You can choose your choices, but you cannot choose your consequences for your choices. It's important that you choose your choices well. And so in this passage, we have here in verse 2, separation due to sin. Look at that. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They had sinned before God. Sin had brought separation. The ark was an example of that. The ark of the covenant was in another place. It was not where it was supposed to be. God had removed his presence. And as a result, in verse 3, the E there, and the Philistines, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Why would he have to deliver them out of the hand of the Philistines? Because they were in the hand of the Philistines. As a result of their sin, they had been punished with bondage from another country. Punishment as a result of their sin. Now look at verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. Repentance and removal. Church, if you have started doing something that has brought you into a wrong relationship with God, you need to get rid of that thing that you started doing. Again, whether it is a material thing or in the heart and mind, the Bible says make no provision for the flesh. You cannot continue to fellowship with the very thing that has carried you out of your relationship with God. You've got to name it and remove it. And Samuel told them, church, hear me please. If you study the worship of Balaam and Ashtaroth, they did things that we can't say in mixed company. They did things that we can't say with children in the auditorium. Hear me. It was nasty. And they were absolutely, and in church, we can all sit here and say, well, I can't believe that. I'd never do anything like that. But what do you let go on right here? What do you watch? What do you listen to? If we're not careful, we are full on into the same things if we're not careful. And God has asked us with extreme prejudice to be pure before him. There's a verse that haunts me more than any other verse. Be ye holy as I am holy. And we have to strive for that. But look at verse 6. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel. That means he went from family to family to family and say, okay, have you gotten rid of the idols in your house? Yes, sir, we have. Well, what about this? What about that? He judged them and they submitted to it. And church, listen, I'm not trying to be anything but real. If you want to have a checkup, you make an appointment. I'll ask you some hard questions. And we all need somebody that's not so impressed with us that they can't ask us some hard questions. Every once in a while, pastors need to ask each other, staying pure? Are you doing things that you know will get you in trouble? So on and so forth. It's absolutely imperative that we have somebody that loves us enough to tell us the truth. Hey, you can't do that. You can't touch that thing and not be defiled. And church, this nation as a whole had gotten into things that they thought they'd never get into because of the worship of Balaam and Ashtoreth. But they've dropped it like a hot cake. Signs of repentance and pursuit. That's verse 6 that I just read. Signs of repentance and pursuit. Church, you'll know when we're in revival, when we're pursuing God with everything we have. Everything we have. Look at verses 7 through 11. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord of God for us, and he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Now, folks, this is simply entitled Restoration and Delivery. When you repent, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, the Lord will restore you right then, right there. You don't have to do anything to get restoration. You don't have to earn restoration. He gives it to you freely. Right then, right there. And then he will deliver you. Now, this was interesting. My wife was paying attention this morning, so there was one word that she wanted to check out, and this word discomfited, it means uneasy. So uneasy to the point that you don't know what's going on. A thunderclap happened so big that all of those big Philistine soldiers, they basically got to the point of, and they were uneasy. And then the Bible says, and God smit them. That means he killed them. That's what it means. Church, when you get right with God, there is absolutely no enemy that God cannot defeat for you. None. He can discomfort them and he can remove them. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. Now look at verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." So here's the memorial. They were outside of God's will. God punished them. He loved them enough to spank them, if you will. And then they said, "God, you're right. I'm wrong." He forgave them. He restored them. And then he delivered them. And now Samuel says, "Hey, church, hey, Israel, hey, nation, hey, family, we don't need to forget this. And so we're going to set this memorial. Every time we see this memorial, we're going to remember, hitherto by thy help I have come." Now watch this. I looked up the word. You've heard me talk about the Webster 1828 app, right? And I looked up Ebenezer. It's not in there. I thought, uh-oh. I looked up hitherto. This is what hitherto means. Adverb. To this time yet. That's what Webster said, 1828. In any time or everywhere till now. In time, preceding the present, to this place, to a prescribed limit. That's what Webster says. I want to ask you guys a question. What limits does God have? None. So that's Webster's words, to a prescribed limit. So we're limited to God on how much he helps us. How much is that? None. So God can do anything you need him to do up to this point. Hitherto. So in other words, church, I'm going to help you along with this. Every time you've needed him, he's helped you. Can I get a witness? And so we're going to put a stone there. We're going to put a memorial there. Hitherto, by thy help, I've come. But wait a minute, Brother Ben, I don't mean to bust your bubble here, and I don't mean to upset your message, but I'm not worried about all the past stuff. I'm worried about what's coming tomorrow. I got to go to my boss, and he's calling me in, and I don't know what's going to happen. You see the look I'm giving you? You're not listening to me. Folks, there's only one person that deals in the future, and that's God. You and I know what they do on the movies. Forget that. You can't go forward. All you know is hitherto he has helped you. So you know what that means? He'll help you over there too. So hitherto, by thy help I've come, you're going to help me over there. Folks, that stone doesn't just tell you that he took care of things in the past. It tells you he'll take care of things in the future. Because God is the God of the past, the present, and the future. You ever heard Casting Crowns? He's already there. And I don't do it near as well as they do. But you see what I'm saying? Thank you for not amening. He's already there, church. God is the future God. He knows what's going on. So hear me. Those financial issues, God will take care of. Fill in the blank. Those family issues, God will take care of. But it's important that you tell God, I know you have taken care of me in the past, and I know you're going to take care of me in the future. Amen, church? Now, if we were bad Pentecostal, we'd run around church a couple times. But that's okay. But it's extremely important. Lucas, hear me. God's going to take care of you, son. You hear me? God's going to take care of you. Broke hip and all. Yeah, I got one too. I got one too. And God will take care of you. He will. I want to give you a little piece of advice. You're going to feel it for the rest of your life. But that's okay. Just to remind you. It just remind you. God got me through that too. And he will get you through whatever's going on. Now, as you musicians come, there's one thing, church, that we've got to make sure. A crowd this size, there's somebody here that has never, ever accepted Christ. You have not done business with God. You know that you're a sinner, perhaps. You know that you deserve eternal punishment. You know that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. But you've never, by faith, placed your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. You need to do that today. Because that is something that you absolutely have to take care of on this side of eternity. If you get to that death date that every one of us will keep, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will pay for your sins for eternity. And there's no reason to do that, because Jesus paid it all. And so I'm begging you, if you'll come, we'll send someone gender appropriate, and they'll share the gospel with you, and we'll set a stone of memorial for this day that Jesus Christ saved you this day. Will you stand? Let's sing.